Some journeys don't begin with a vision, a séance, or a search for answers. They begin at rock bottom. Tonight's story starts with a man who built a $400 million empire while quietly losing himself to a seven-year opioid addiction that nearly cost him everything: his marriage, his health, his future. And then something unexpected happened. Not through a vision, not through a belief system, and not because he went looking for answers beyond this world. What followed were moments that didn't fit neatly into any explanation. Events that were captured, questioned, and documented, not preached or promoted. Images that raised uncomfortable questions. Experiences that didn't ask for truth, but demanded attention. Tonight on Paranormal 360, we're talking with Tim Malone, a man whose life took an unexpected turn that led him to confront loss, purpose, and the possibility that connection doesn't end the way we've always been taught or believe it does. We're not here to tell you what to think. We're here to ask a question that refuses to remain unanswered. What if a doorway you never intended to open opens anyway? Joining me now on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline, Tim Malone. Tim, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here this evening.
Thanks, Dave. I'm very grateful for you having me on. Very appreciative. Thank you.
Behind the Veil, One Man's Journey from Opioid Addiction to Spirituality and Beyond. That's the name of the book. And we will have a link for that book on today's program guide. And do me a favor, as I always say, my friends, don't just buy the book, read the book, and then go out and rate and review the book, because the ratings and reviews do a lot to help these authors get the word out and have their book shared amongst all of the different booksellers a lot easier. Tim, this is an amazing story, right? I mean, obviously for you, because you live this, but when you hear somebody's in charge of a $400 million business and is, you know, has a good head on his shoulders, sometimes it's rattling, A, to think that something supernatural might be involved in their lives, and B, that we forget that sitting on top doesn't always mean things come with grace and ease. Sometimes there are a lot of dark shadows that can affect and infect people's lives. If you don't mind, can we start back a little bit with this story and how you go from building a business to falling into kind of despair and hitting that rock bottom?
Well, thank you again, Dave. I never would have expected, you know, 15 years ago to imagine where I would be and the events that happened to me. I was a business guy. I had three daughters, wonderful wife, and I wasn't going to church, anything. I had no spiritual connection at all. And then things hit the rocks with my first marriage. There was a divorce, and I was in despair. I was going to a therapist during that time, and he kept asking me, you know, these are perfect times when you're going through a horrible divorce that you can fall into addictions and all these other things. And I said, no, that'll never happen to me. Well, of course, there I was 6 months later, taking hydrocodone and drinking beer. So that's where it started, with a divorce where I thought I'd never end up, never imagined in my life there was no addiction in my family, but there I was taking the opioids.
Now, in that sense, were you at a point where you were just trying to stop feeling anything, trying to push down emotions and the thoughts that were burning through your head?
Oh, yeah, Dave, that's it. It's totally true that you're just trying to medicate yourself to feel better. Yeah.
And that's not always the answer, as we see, unfortunately, in the untimely deaths of many people that have been at peaks that we think they should be at their happiest. They should be really successful. This should be everything that anybody's ever wanted. And yet we forget that we're still all human, and we put our pants on one leg at a time, and we bleed when we get cut, and we have these kind of things taking place. When you find yourself in the throes of this addiction and issue, are you aware of how bad it's becoming at that point?
No, the, you know, when you're addicted to opioids, and I feel so sorry for all the wonderful people that have died from them. All you care about is chasing the buzz. All you care about every day is getting up and finding the pills. Yeah, that's really all you care about. You don't realize, and Oh, wow. You're really good at hiding it, by the way. Family and friends, yeah, you keep it well hidden. A lot of people are so surprised now with the book. They're like, what? Really? You were addicted during that time? Like, yeah, I was.
Now, do you find, and please bear with me, I mean, it's certainly not a way to drag you into a darker place, but when people are at a successful level and they're doing well in business, we find that a lot of times they're surrounded by yes people, people that don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to upset the apple cart, and they won't say anything. Do you believe these people are truly surprised by what you were going through, or do you think that they were turning a blind eye so that they didn't offend, affect, or change their own life's trajectory?
Probably a little bit of both. Yeah, you're right. When you run a company, you never seem to get the truth from everybody. But I'm not sure that, once again, addicts are so good at hiding it, especially opioids, that anybody would have really had a chance to know.
During the times that you were fighting the addiction, did strange things, now that you can look back at it with a little bit more clarity, do you notice that there were strange things, spiritual things that were taking place that maybe you were just dismissing due to the drugs and alcohol, but now you can see through a clearer set of eyes that this was the beginning?
Well, that's a great question, because Dave, there was a point when I was taking 14 hydrocodone a day, 2 Ambien. I should have been dead. And I had a vision one night, and I was climbing up this hill, and I couldn't make it to the top, and it was awful. I woke up in a cold sweat, and I'm like, oh my God, that was horrible. I still remember it. And now as I look back, that was a vision of something. If I would have reached the top, I think I would have been dead that night. There was something there that kept me alive. And as we'll speak to later, there was a lot of things going on that happened later that really proved the point that you've asked. That, yeah, things started happening, some pretty amazing things.
Right, profound things that sometimes we take for granted or will maybe put to a fever dream. You're dealing with
right when you hear some of this stuff.
Yeah, and we've only got about a minute left together in this segment. We'll come back and dive a little bit deeper into this. I thought this was important to play at this time of year, to talk about this openly. And I love the candid nature in which you're bringing this story forward, because there are a lot of people that struggle and a lot of people that feel lost. And we usually only hear the stories of the people that didn't make it back from that brink, that passed that summit and never came back to us. I think this is a powerful moment for people to realize that we're all human. We're all living an experience, and we all go through storms and dark periods, but there is light at the end of those tunnels, and that we can see our way clear. We just have to stay the course. We have to start to become aware and awake to the moments that are around us. And that's what our guest, Tim Malone, did. He's also written a book, as I mentioned, and we will have a link for the book up and available, Behind the Veil: One Man's Journey from Opioid Addiction to Spirituality and Beyond. We'll continue with that discussion right here on your home for all things strange and supernatural. This is Paranormal 360. Welcome back to the program. I'm Dave Schrader. That's Tim Malone. And tonight we're digging into his personal story, a story of hitting the heights, hitting the skids, and then finding redemption, finding light at the end of that tunnel. And again, a powerful time to talk about this, because there are a lot of people, Tim, that are going through their own versions of the lifescape you've lived. Maybe not quite to the same highs or the same lows, but it shows that we are all a lot more alike than people really understand. And I love to hear when people are able to get through these moments and find their way back. When you really hit rock bottom and you had that almost like a near-death experience dream, right, where you're climbing something, you're trying to reach the summit, and the clarity, does it come to you now that that's what you were dealing with, that you think if you'd have hit that summit, you would have lost your life? Or was that pretty prevalent to you at the time that it was taking place?
No, Dave. As I look back, it's crystal clear that that night I should have died. I mean, you take 14 hydrocodone and take 2 Ambien, those two together shut your body down. That's why a lot of people die when they're taking the pills, because they're up all day. Then they take things to get themselves to sleep. And those two usually you wake up dead. So that was the start of understanding something bigger was in store for me.
All right. Now, what is that moment of clarity? How does it start to awaken for you? How do you start to realize just who you are and what you're looking at in the mirror every day?
It was divine intervention. It was a dog. I swore to my wife, never bring a dog home. And at the peak of my addiction, on a Sunday, after I'd been partying all weekend, and got home, and there was a dog. And she said, I bought a dog. And I'm like, well, I told you not to buy a dog. So if you brought a dog home, then I get to name it, and I'm going to name it Boo Boo, because you're not supposed to buy a dog. And that was the
story. Way to stand your ground, Tim. Way to stand your ground.
Right. Well, I got the name of the dog, Boo Boo.
Well, there's the little win. I like that.
Yeah, but that was the start of a beautiful relationship and a spiritual transformation. And for instance, when I would walk with the dog, you mentioned things. Oh,
wait, let me ask you before you get into that moment. Did you ever ask your wife what kind of led her to the moment that she thought, I'm getting a dog? You know, he doesn't want a dog. We've talked about this. He's been very clear about it. Did you ever ask her what made her make that choice?
No, Dave, she just wanted a dog. But I think as we get farther into the story, when the divine's getting involved and they're giving you nudges, a lot of times it's out of the blue and it doesn't make any sense, but that's the power that they have.
I love that. Yeah. I didn't know if in the interim between those moments, she was like, yeah, I don't know. Something woke me up that morning. And I thought today's the day I'm getting a dog. But again, this was even hidden, veiled for your wife in this decision.
No, she to this day would say, I just wanted a dog.
Okay. So now Boo Boo's a part of your life. You said that even just starting to walk with Boo Boo, things started to happen. Talk to us.
Started to exercise. I started finding things. Like, I was walking one day and I found a brand new copy of the book by Harper. What was it? The Kill a Mockingbird?
Oh, Harper Lee.
Yeah, Harper Lee. Right in the middle of this path that we walk, where there's nobody, and it's a brand new book laying right in the middle. And I picked it up and I thought, well, that's a sign. So things started happening. And then my daughter said, Dad, you know, you're recovering from your addiction. We want to help. There's a spiritual person we want you to meet. So I started going to, there was a group of three of us. We started meditating a little bit. So mm-hmm. I was starting to dip my toe in to the spiritual side of the world.
When your daughters come to you with this concept of, we want to take you on a spiritual path, we want you to meet somebody to do this, coming from a guy who's pragmatic, never really had a dogma or theology attached to him, never really had that, what was that like? Was that something you were like, why not? This is maybe a chance for me to get closer with my children.
It was that day, but there was just something innately in me now leading me. And as I look back on it, it all makes sense. At the time, I'm not sure why I got in that group with the three other people. But as I look back, it was like it all makes sense. But at the time, I just thought it was something that I'd try that my daughters wanted me to do.
Okay. Well, that's as good a start as any, right? And having your children come to you showing care and compassion, and that they weren't willing to just throw you out because you were in an embarrassment, you were a drug addict, you were, which a lot of people, right? Unfortunately, not everybody has that kind of support system, but they bring you in and then they want to take you to this level. So you go with these three people to start. What are those first moments for you like?
I started, I can't explain some of the euphoria from the initial meditations, but I would leave those meetings and I would feel like I was on top of the world. And it started moving me into a place of recovery.
Was it because you were finding that euphoria that you thought you could only find with drugs and alcohol before?
Yes, because the buzz that you get from opioids is the best buzz you'll ever have in your life. And only an addict could agree with that. But living life, but some of the spiritually transformative events I went through are as good or better than any buzz you'll ever get in your life. It was.
Can you tell me a little bit about the type of meditation? Was there a specific modality or a specific line that they were taking you down?
Well, we were, you know, as I look back now, mystics. So there was no dogma attached. And the leader had a spiritual being that she worked with called Halai. And we would meditate and connect to her. And then she'd ask us, what did I see? And what did they tell you? So that's how it all started.
Again, are you, when you're having those experiences, are you kind of fighting it? Are you like, am I just imagining this? Is this just part of my ego or id that's giving me these answers and I'm not really having a spiritual moment? I'm just having a moment of clarity.
Well, for our listeners, one of the biggest things you'll fight as you start moving into meditations or a spiritual path or being a mystic is the deference of understanding what is your intuition in your mind versus what is coming from somewhere else. That is a big, big hurdle. And so, yeah, you're exactly right. It's a challenge to know, is that my intuition or is that really somebody showing me something from the other side?
And was there one moment that broke that door open for you, or was it a slow cascade of moments that finally led you to that?
There were a few times in that room with those people that things happened. We heard bells twinkling out of nowhere. We all had the same vision of different things that were all the same. So some strange things started happening. There were things on the wall that I saw and they'd say, that's not there. So I really started getting into some visions that were fueled by the other side behind the veil.
Let's talk more about that when we return. Tim Malone, our guest. I'm Dave Schrader, your host here on the Paranormal 360. A new year is rapidly approaching, which means it's time to stop letting last year's chaos rent space in your head and in your heart. This is the season of new everything. New life, new love, new confidence, new jobs, and new chances to finally become the best version of you that you've dreamt of. And the universe? Well, it's practically standing on your lawn with a giant cosmic boombox blasting messages meant just for you. You just need the right conduit. And that's where Love and Lotus Tarot with Winnie Schrader comes in. Winnie doesn't just read cards. She translates destiny. He helps you see the opportunities lining up, the patterns trying to repeat, and the new beginnings that are already forming behind the scenes. Right on the heels of New Year comes Valentine's Day, which means love is in the air, or at least it should be. And if your love life has been more like a blue screen of death error, romance not found, don't panic, my friends. The universe is already trying to nudge you in the right direction. The cards are ready to be shuffled, your story is ready to turn the next page, and your next beginning is closer than you think. Book your reading now, or better yet, buy a reading for a friend. Visit lovelotustarot.com and start the year the way it deserves, with clarity, confidence, and maybe even finding a love that you deserve. That's lovelotustarot.com. Your destiny awaits. We're back here on Paranormal 360. Tim Malone, our guest. Tim, when you're talking about going into these kind of headspaces and you're meditating, you're with this group, you're having shared experiences, individual experiences. Do you get taken in and out of your moment by what other people are having? And how do you know that when they're having this, because you're already just in this open headspace, you're not just going along for the ride as opposed to actually having that moment? And I'm only asking because I know there's a bunch of skeptic people out there that are listening and wondering. They want to have these moments for themselves, but they're afraid to ask. They're afraid to believe the things that come through for them. How do you know to differentiate between what's a vividly imaginative experience and a real spiritual moment?
Well, wow, what a great question. And I want to talk more about this later. But okay. Also for the moment, I call these spiritually STEs, spiritually transformative events. These are these things that happen to a person, and it might be after a funeral and they're in their bedroom and their father comes back, or it might be as they're walking in a grocery store. But these things that happen where somebody sits back and says, wow, that was weird and something, but people are so, when I meet people and tell them about the orbs, they'll say, you know, this is the first time I ever was able to tell people, or I wanted to ask you about seeing my father, or I was at a funeral, or I took a picture with this. So these spiritually transformative events are those things you're talking about, Dave, where people are afraid sometimes to tell other people, but there are those things that click that they're sending us from the other side in order to help us connect to something greater.
Now, do you find that while you're going through this process, are you creating a better bond with Boo Boo the dog?
Well, Boo Boo and, you know, animals are all souls. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, people that love animals and dogs, I mean, they're sometimes greater than family. They come home and love you no matter what. And Boo Boo was helping me through this addiction. And so, God, did I love that dog. It's even hard to talk about her now. And I won't even listen to the music from the time that she passed. She was such a great friend and a great soul.
And I think a lot of people can relate to that. I know myself, I just a few days ago, fell down a flight of stairs, sprained my back here, sprained my hip, hurt my leg. And my family's cats, of all of them, one is my guy and he hangs out with me. But it's been funny as I've been laying there recouping and, you know, taking the cold and the heat and trying to get through that. These cats have just swarmed me and like insisted on almost healing. I don't know how else to explain it. They create this little like comfort zone, and it's like they're checking on me and making sure I'm okay. And this isn't something that's just imagined. I've seen it through years. I mean, my oldest cat has been with me now 12, 13 years. And when I've hit moments of dark depression, I may not have seen that cat for a week, but when I'm really dealing with it, he comes out and he's on me and loving on me and reminding me I'm not alone, that something else knows that I'm going through it and it's there for me. And it really kind of helps connect you in a way that I think we take for granted. We think people are the connections, and animals and angels come in many forms. They don't all wear wings. Some have collars, right?
You're exactly right. And animals are so well thought of on the other side. Animals are here to heal and love us. And a lot of time that's all they want to do. They just want to love us. And so animals, as you read behind the veil, there's a part where I meet the animal king, and he's speaking to me about taking care of the animals. And I have it captured on video and pictures. But yeah, I met him, and he's holding some animals. And he's like, yeah, create a portal and help these animals, please.
Now, when you say that you meet him, is this during your meditation and spiritual journey?
So I think what's unique, a lot of people, there are clairvoyants that talk to them, and I do too, but my clarity isn't as good as other people. The way they connected to me was through video and pictures of orbs in my backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm getting ahead of us probably, but they figured a way to communicate with me that was beyond just, because when, if you go to a clairvoyant, they say, okay, you know, I met this angel and they said, Dave, you know, they're your guardian angel and da, 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 da. Well, this is not only me talking to them, but they've led me into books, but also I see them. They show me themselves. After I meditate, they're there. It's amazing. It's there's nothing else out there that can do that.
And when you see, are you seeing amorphous balls of light, orbs? Are you seeing fully formulated figures?
Well, at first, you know, the dog, when my dog passed, as people who were listening understand, I was devastated. I was crying. And I knew enough from that class with three people that I knew a little bit about orbs. So I asked, as soon as my dog passed, would you please, universe, let my dog stay with me? And that night with my iPhone, I started taking pictures. The next day I went to work and I downloaded the pictures and there were orbs. And then I kept taking pictures. And then I noticed as I blew those up, there was my dog in the orbs. So that's how it started. Normal orbs that people take pictures with, you know, there's a million of them out there and are all beautiful and wonderful because orbs are communication from them. But I saw the orbs that most people see at first, but only my dog was in the orbs.
That's beautiful. You know, it reminds me, my father just passed away on the 4th of July this year. And my father was a tough Chicago construction worker. I'd watched him go to funerals for friends and relatives and never really shed a tear. And he was never cold, but you could tell that he just was personal about it. But when his dog Walker passed away, we were surprised and blown away by the fact that for days he just wept openly about it. And it was a different type of connection. And I'm sure many of you have felt that. We'll be back with more right here on Paranormal 360. I think that what we're discussing tonight, a lot of people can resonate with the sense that their animals are a bigger part of their life than just something living, breathing, pooping and eating in their house, right? There's something more to them. It's like they were called into our life for a purpose. And I wonder, Tim, I wonder how many people have that and aren't aware of that calling. Do you think that they come back to us a number of times until we see them? You know, there's a Dog's Purpose, I think is the name of the movie, that kind of talks about this dog that keeps coming back, reincarnating into this man's life. But do you think there's something to that, that the spirit that's with these animals will continue to curate us until we're ready to finally understand?
Dave, you couldn't be more right. Absolutely. I firmly believe animals, when they pass, if you were that close to them, they will come back to you in several ways. You may not notice it. A lot of people don't pick up on it, but no, they are souls. They are looked after. They are cared for. They are on a path just like us of reincarnation. So animals also have a path of spiritual path.
Very pretty. And you know, we'll get into it a little bit later as well, but I wonder, do you think that we as humans get that luxury that at some point we can reincarnate into one of these animals to start bringing healing? Do you think that's part of our journey as well?
Oh, well, you know, as a mystic, you know, I believe in reincarnation. I know it's true. And, you know, I've learned so much about my past lives. Well, animals are also, but it's a progression. So I'm not sure you as a human can go back into being a dog or a cat. I think they have a window of opportunity as they progress to move into a better life form, like a human. So I think it goes that way.
Interesting. I'd have to debate you on that, though, Tim. I think with the way my cats and dogs have lived, they had the much better life than I've ever had. Anytime I could just lay around, somebody brings me food, rubs my belly, I feel like that's a pretty good win in my book. But I'm with you. You lost Boo Boo. You asked the universe, God, the spirit realm, to allow Boo Boo to stay. Could you sense the immediacy of that presence with you? Or did it take a while to get through your grieving process before you became aware that Boo Boo was still there?
No, Dave, it brought immediate clarity to me and comfort to know that my dog was still there in spirit. And in the house, I took pictures in the house and I saw my dog. Every night I was fascinated. I spent hours taking photos and graduated into a better camera to get better photos of my dog and the fascination with orbs. So it was great comfort.
And as you're progressing with this and learning through it, are you finding ways through meditation to take it beyond just seeing images in the orbs of your dog? Are you finding ways to communicate with the spirit of the dog?
Well, I'm finding ways. So this path, at this point, I'm taking pictures of orbs and I see my dog. But my fascination continues to grow. I'm buying books about orbs. I'm buying books about other subjects, too, that the holy ones have led me to. So I'm at a point where in my meditations, we're starting to share our consciousness. Because remember, I asked, and they gave me the dog and the orbs. So as I progress, I'm meditating and asking. And as we talk about it further, you'll see that we're sharing consciousness and they're showing me things every night that I ask for that day at 3 o'clock when I meditate.
Beautiful. But again, it's about putting yourself in the place to get the messages. I think that's an important lesson too. So many of us are asking for a sign. We're asking for things and then don't pay attention. We're not aware of our surroundings. We're so enthralled with our phones, our computers, our tablets, and the rest of the world and how it's going that we may be missing the messages that are coming through for us. Is that a fair assessment?
No, Dave, it's a great assessment. I mean, the problem is, you know, spending time meditating, people are busy and their lives are busy. And it's not as easy as just saying, I want my dog to come back and I'm going to take pictures that night. It takes a commitment of love and emotion. But remember, love is the currency on the other side. So if you can connect and you can use your heart instead of your mind, you can connect quicker to them. And that leads you to sharing consciousness with them. But it's hard in our life, the busy lives we have, it's tough for people.
By learning how to do that and starting off with something what we consider maybe simple with an animal, does that then start to open the possibilities of communicating with our loved ones for you?
Oh, absolutely. Have I got stories for you?
Good. It's a good thing you're going to be with us a whole nother hour because we're going to need to talk about
those. It opens doors that you're not even going to believe.
And so that we can face this up front real quickly, there are people that are afraid of opening those doors. They're afraid that they may be fooled, that there may be something more nefarious behind them. Is that a real concern from your viewpoint?
Absolutely. The first time that I actually took video of orbs and saw the things in them, mm-hmm. instead of just the colors and pixelated dogs, I actually saw human beings in them. I stayed away from it for like a month because I felt like I'd opened a door and I was really scared. I felt like I'd opened something I wasn't supposed to see because it blew my mind. It was like, what? Why are they showing me this? Yeah.
But once you are in that mindset and in that heart space to be open for these things, the surprise really shouldn't be there, right? We're asking for this connection. And it's coming in the ways that it's trying to make it as accessible for us to realize.
Well, and the shared consciousness between me asking in a meditation at 3 to them showing me things, you start building this bond with them. And like I said, love is the currency on their side. So you start understanding they're here to love us. They're here to help us. And they're there to put on a show for me. An orb to me is a stage. And I ask them for things and they've got to create the images for me to understand what they're trying to show me and tell me.
And is it getting easier and easier for you to see these messages clearly?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah. It's incredible, Dave. It's so beautiful. I can't wait for people to see some of it in the book.
Well, let's do this. We'll take our final break here. We'll come back at the top of the hour. Tim Malone has agreed to stay on with us. We'll continue our journey into his discussion and into his life and his learnings. And what does he want you to know? Why was it important to put it together in a book now? We'll discuss that next on the Paranormal 360.